The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Good to be back. Everyone kept telling me that it was good to see me back. But I said, what about me front? Hold on a second. Well, you can see me front. Is that better? Yeah, there you go. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to see you. And we had a great trip. Enjoyed visiting the family. But in the words of Frank Sinatra, that great philosopher in song, it's also nice to go traveling, but it's also nice to come home. So those of you who are old enough know what that's about. It's a song he sang many years ago. So good to have visitors with us. Good to have our regulars. And good to have those on Facebook. We're glad you could join us. And those on the internet. So we're reaching out electronically during COVID. Hopefully this will disappear one of these days. And we can get back to having a normal church life, whatever that means. I'm not sure. So let's pray and then we'll get started. Hallelujah, Father. We love you. We praise you. We bless you.
Yes.
Lord, we enter your gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. And we enter your courts with praise. You alone are worthy of praise. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving Pat a good trip and bringing us home safe and sound.
Yes.
Father, thank you for the miracles that you're doing in people's lives today. Father, we believe you for miracles. You're a miracle-working God, and we need miracles. I ask you to intervene, Lord Jesus. Help those in need, those who have burdens that are heavy to carry. I ask you to lift those burdens. You're the burden lifter. Father, I ask you to bring the peace that passes all understanding to the hearts of those who need you so desperately today. We love you, Lord. Bless our city. Bless the churches of our city, our state, our nation, and the whole world. Deliver us from the hand of evil. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. All right.
For the glory of the Lord is risen, the glory of the Lord is come, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Hallelujah, give him a shout. Rise, shine, for the light is come.
Shofar that we bought when we were in Israel, and we were blowing our shofar all over our house and our neighborhood. Our neighbors must think that we're crazy. Last Friday was Rosh Hashanah, so we brought out the shofar and started to blow that then. But we're just so excited about what God is doing in this nation right now, that we're really believing that revival is coming forth. And I know Camille, I know you watched the return all day yesterday. Most of us did. And I'm just excited that God's people are coming together and praying and doing the things that we're waking up. The church, you talk about the church being the giant that's asleep in the light. Well, our church is not just our church, but in our nation, in this world. I'm believing that the church is beginning to arise and go forth and be the light that we're supposed to be in this planet. And like y'all are going back to Africa again, I just believe that God is doing something fresh and new and exciting in this hour. So we're doing another song in that line. We're going to do Prepare the Way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. He's come to bring light.
The right drum pattern for it.
Yes. He's come to bring light into the darkness.
He has come. Yes, Lord. To bring light into the darkness. He has come. To bring freedom to captives. The Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way for our Redeemer. Prepare the way. Prepare the way for our restoring. Make ready your heart. Make ready your home. Make ready the people of God. Prepare the way for our
Yes, Lord. We declare the way for him to return.
Let the life of
Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory, let the weight of your glory fall. O Spirit of Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the living God. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the living God. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the life of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory, let the weight of your glory. Let the weight of your glory fall. Let the weight of your glory. Oh, let the weight of your glory. Let the weight of your glory fall.
Yes, Lord, let your glory be manifest. Not only in this place, Lord, but around the world. Let the whole world see your glory. That the world may come to you. Father, we know the only hope for our world is you. You're the one. And as Jonathan Cahn spoke yesterday and so many others, it's time for the church to come closer to you. It's time for the church to reach out to those who are in need. You said that many years ago, Lord Jesus, that the fields were ready for harvest. That they were ready 2,000 years ago. How much more so is that harvest ready today? Father, let us put aside our shyness, our fear of talking to other people. And Father, we just fire us up to talk to our family, to our children, our grandchildren, to our brothers, sisters, to our moms and dads, to our cousins, to our entire extended family, to our dearest friends, and that we might tell them about Jesus who came, and Jesus who is coming again, that they might receive him into their life. Lord, it's the only hope for our world. If we want the cities to stop burning, if we want the hatred to disappear, it won't be done with armies, it won't be done with guns, but it will be done with the name and the power of Jesus Christ. If we change hearts and minds, it's the only thing that will work, Lord. We know that for a fact. Lord, we implore you to wake us up, Lord Jesus. As Becky said, Lord, that the church would wake up. Wake out of the slumber and reach out to the world. Lord, we know that one day the skies will open, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and those who are alive will be changed and meet the Lord in the air. We know that day is coming, Lord. We know it is. But in the meantime, I know we got a job to do, Lord. to bring as many people as possible into the kingdom. Let us be watchful, Lord, standing on the wall and shouting, "This is the way. Jesus is the way. Come unto Him, all you are burdened and heavy laden, and receive the Lord Jesus into your life." That's our only message. It's our only job, Lord God. Help us to do the job that you call us to do. We love you, Lord. And we praise you.
We love you, Lord.
In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
And amen.
We love
amen.
You, Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Good to see you, kept you here. Hey, I see you better with the light. And that old song said, "I saw the light." I did see the light. The light that came into the world. Well, that's the light that we're seeing and changed all of us. So we're glad you're here. It's a special day on our calendar. Been looking forward to it. Two of our dear friends are here today. And that's what's your name again? It's with a Z, right? Ziegler. I call them the Z people. All right? Grace and David. Those of you who know him, know them, know what a delight they are. Those who don't know them, you're in for a treat. I knew them before. They were Z people. It was just Z-Man and Grace Girl. But they fell in love and decided to get married. It was a marvelous thing. They've been living happily ever after.
Yeah.
And they've been called by God to do a lot of things. They're busy in the kingdom. They're working in our community, but they're working around the world. God's given them a mission to work in Uganda. And so they're getting ready to leave to go back to Uganda real soon for their annual trek. And so I thought it'd be just great for them to come and tell us what they're doing, bring us a message of hope from the scriptures. And I just decided to turn the service over to them to see what they got to say. But before I do that, I want to thank all of you who filled in for us while we were going. Miss Bobby, thank you for decorating the place. I didn't get to say that before I left, but I noticed it and I forgot to tell you. Thank you for the fall decorations. Thank you for being a media girl. Since Pat wasn't here to do the media, thank you, Nick, for being the master of ceremonies. Thank you, Danny, for filling in with the Word of God. Did a good job. I got to listen to it. And all of you who did jobs that need to be done around here. So it just proves what I've always thought about myself. I'm as indispensable as a finger in a bucket of water. You pull it out, you can't even tell I was there, all right? And that's the way it's supposed to be. Yeah. So enough of the jocularity. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to thank God and praise Him because we have a new pro-life appointee to the Supreme
Court. Amen, amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. And we're going to talk about that a little later and some other things. So I've got some other things on the agenda later. But for the moment, I want you to meet Grace and David Ziegler. Amen. The Z people. You can spread germs among yourselves.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It sure is a blessing to be here to see everybody once again. Thank you for your warm welcome and for your pastors. They're amazing people. We love your pastors. They always are smiling, always doing something out of the box, meaning they're who they are. And that's wonderful. And we're Dave and Grace Ziegler, thank you for just being who you are, the body of Christ. We're excited today about what we're going to present. Grace is going to really talk about what has taken place since COVID concerning what we do in Uganda, Africa, and where we'll be going soon again. And then I'm going to follow up with the word. And it's amazing because yesterday confirmed basically what I'm going to bring with the word. But what I'm talking about is the event that took place in Washington, D.C. yesterday.
Amen.
With the return Not only was that taking place, do anybody know else what was taking place in Washington?
Franklin Graham, the prayer march.
Yes, the prayer march with Franklin Graham and others were on the other side of the Lincoln Memorial. So there were 50,000 at least on that side of people gathered to pray and to march. And on the other side was the return with Jonathan Kahn and Kevin Jessup and folks repenting. So you had repenting on one side of Washington, D.C., and then you had praise and worship and celebration on the other side. Truly an amazing day. So we facilitated where we are at our church and facilitated that with it being on the screens. And man, it was a powerful time of repentance. Because without repentance, there really cannot be revival. And we as the born-again believers of Christ are the ones, of course, that are asked by God to repent for even the sins of our country. So that's what we did yesterday. Yesterday marked the 40th day before the election. Yesterday was exactly 40 days before the election. 40 in the Bible speaks of trial, temptation, and transition. And number 40. So we've got a trial in front of us, but if we get out and do what we're supposed to as far as voting, then
praying,
things will take place. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Okay. Well, we're excited about what we get to present to you today. And my lovely wife, Grace, is going to take it from here, and I'll be right back up. I'm here ready to work.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. It is so good to be back with our New Beginnings family. We always love to come and see our brothers and sisters in Christ here. Even though older in the year, we may not see you, but you are in our prayers. We pray for all of those that support us through prayer and encouragement and also finances. But prayer and encouragement is so important. So thank you. This morning, as we get started, like Dave said, I get the privilege of giving you the date. And Dave gets the privilege of sharing the word with you. So what I'm going to do is just take about 10 total minutes. I'm going to verbally tell you what's happening in Uganda. And then we have a 3-minute video that will tell you again what we're doing in Uganda. It'll tell it to you in picture, okay? So I do want to start out one thing, though. With all that we've been praising, the praise and worship this morning, the song selection, and all that God is doing, I want to encourage you. These are good times. Yes, they're hard times, but they are good times for the body of Christ because we are going to shine brighter. The world is showing its darkness. The world is showing increased evil and lawlessness. But that means for us who are being awakened, yeah, we have to wake up. For those who are being awakened, we're wiping the sleep from our eyes. And I believe that we're maybe getting fed, get fed on the Word of God, get that breakfast going, get some energy food in us. Stay close to God, seek God's face. Enable the power of the Holy Spirit to work through us. And we are going to be a mighty force to be reckoned with because the power of God is in us and will work through us. And I believe God is wanting to do something great in the land. So don't be discouraged, be encouraged. Nehemiah 4, I want to share the scripture and then get into our update. In Nehemiah, God gave me this word yesterday for the gathering that we had at our church. And, you know, the walls had been destroyed. Jerusalem had been destroyed. Nehemiah had gone back with a team to rebuild the walls. But when he got there, he had some opposition. He had a lot of opposition in many different forms. We have felt opposition. But let us not be discouraged. When the enemies arose against them to try to hinder and stop the work, Nehemiah said to them, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us, and that God had brought their plot to nothing, brought their plot to nothing, that all of us return to the wall, everyone to his work. Now, we've been scattered and we had to go into lockdown all over the world. Christians were in lockdown. But God didn't go into lockdown. And I believe he was preparing the hearts of others to receive the word that we have in us. And I couldn't help but when we were sitting there, I saw us. He says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Right? And so I thought about it. Oftentimes we feel like cracked pots, right? We're cracked pots. But out of cracks shines the light. So let God's light shine through you on your good days and your bad days, in season and out of season. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. So as I said, we went into lockdown, but God didn't go into lockdown. He didn't go into lockdown here, and he didn't go into lockdown in Uganda. They were in stricter lockdown than we were. I don't have time to go into all of that. I want to get into this. But prior to COVID, we had 2 months prior to COVID, January and February. And in January and February, Dave and I are constantly in connection with our Ugandan partners and friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. Pastor Sam is the pastor that we have partnered with. And we praise God for Pastor Sam. He is a mighty man of God. He's a young man, but very mature and wise in the Lord. And we've also partnered with an orphanage there, run by Darren and Fatuma O'Quinn. So I'm going to tell you what happened with them. Right before COVID, in February, we partnered with Pastor Sam. Lord had led it on his heart. He had started an evangelistic team in his church called Church on the Go. And they, one Sunday a quarter, they shut down their church. And they were going to go into the community and hold a crusade in the villages. So we had partnered with him to help fund that. That takes funds to put that on. So they held their first one about a week or two before the lockdown. And I think it was something like 20 people came to Christ through that crusade. And he had started discipling them every Sunday morning in his church. He would have discipleship class. Well, COVID hit couple weeks later, and that shut that down for a bit. And it took a while, but meanwhile, in our community, Dave and I are volunteer chaplains through the Chaplain Corps with St. Timothy Parish Coroner's Office. So a door opens. Slidell Memorial Hospital asked for some chaplains to come and minister regularly to the healthcare workers who were pretty stressed out. So Dave and I were two of several that volunteered, and each week we would go to the hospital, and it was quite an experience and quite a humbling experience to be able to pray with the doctors and nurses and other healthcare workers that were standing on the front lines of the entire COVID situation. We were not allowed to, of course, pray with any patients, but we did go into the COVID unit. Really great for Captain Kifa. Just show him your favor. Show him your love and your favor. And when you do it, make sure he gets it, that he understands it was your favor. That's how we felt led to pray. And within a few weeks, we got another telephone call, and when we asked how Captain Kifa was doing, the word came to us. He had received a huge promotion, would be going into a different division and unit, and he told Valentino, he said, "That's because I gave my life to Christ." Wow. Hallelujah. All right, and then lastly, to give you an update on the orphanage, that was an amazing thing. Darren and Fatuma, the week that everybody went into lockdown, they received a telephone call from the Ugandan government asking, could they help? Because some of the orphanages shut down and the kids were out on the street. And they said, can you help us get some of the kids off the street? Would you start a second home?
Wow.
So they put it on Facebook. Many people responded by immediately sending funds to them. Within a week's time, they had rented a house. They had gotten, I think, 30-something boys off of the street because they decided it would be a boys' home. They pulled the boys off the street, bought mattresses, stocked it with
home with food,
got someone to direct it and oversee it, and began to love and disciple those children. And now out of that, now that it was this many months past, they've been able to shut down that home, acclimate the kids, and it was 30-something of, I think, that said they didn't want to go back on the street. They wanted to go up to Hallelujah Mountain where the main home is. And they've been able to move those children to Hallelujah Mountain. They are building a school, a two-story school. It's almost completed on the mountain. That way they don't have to take 100-something children on the mountain and into the faraway village for schooling. But here's what's even better. They're going to open that school for the village kids who are uneducated. And they hold church service every Sunday on the mountain. And last week, 8 village people gave their life to Christ.
Yeah.
So hallelujah. God is still moving. So thank you for your faithful prayers. Thank you for your financial support. It is true, we cannot do this alone, but we always have to do it together. That's the way God made the body of Christ. We're just the feet that go. That's all we are. So thank you very much. God bless you. Now we have a 3-minute video, and then my husband will come.
My name is it. That will be Dutch. Come on in and look at Tenda. What you do, bro? Now you're in Tenda. Where she did what?
Lord. Well, can you hear me out there good? All right, we want to be able to present and speak well. We are so thankful for your help with what's taking place. As Grace said, we're like the feet, and we so enjoy going to Uganda and having a great time. I've got a friend out here today, he and his wife and their children. It's my friend Lynn Ricks that I've known for 35 plus years, and he's married to Norris. And they will be celebrating their first wedding anniversary on tomorrow. Is that right? That's right. They're Jonathan and Kevin. We're so thankful that you guys are here with us today. So thank you. And I know that there are some regulars here, and I know some of you regulars and some new faces. It's wonderful to see you. I tell you, it's an amazing time to be in God and doing what He says to do. And to obeying His word. It's a time where, as Grace was saying, we're being woken up as the body of Christ. And I have to say this, that as I bring the word to you today, I'm really excited about what we're about to do. In about 2.5 weeks, we'll be leaving for Uganda. And we will be heading into that country where the lockdown was more of lockdown, really, than what we have experienced here. And what's amazing is that the Ugandan people they're an obedient people. We as Americans don't tend to be, as a culture, as obedient. We think we might be, but we're not, in the general sense of the word. When we go to other countries and we see how people operate, it's amazing to watch how quickly what took place takes place. With a country of close to 21 million people, only 63 people died out of 21 million. That is truly amazing. Now, they're, of course, not have been able to report everything, but with that type of report, we begin to see how tight things came together quickly for them. But yet, we're so glad that we are able to go, because when we go, we bring what we bring, which is the gospel and crusades and conferences for pastors. But believe me, we go and we learn a whole lot more than what we actually bring. And it's a learning time, it's fun. Oh gosh, we have so much fun. Isn't it amazing to go and know that God's work is fun? And that when we get our minds geared up into what God wants us to do, and we obey what He says to do, that the work that He puts in front of us is fun. And we glow. That's what our prayer is that we glow with God's glory, with joy that He's called us to do these things. Some of us go, wow, we come to Christ, and many of us may have thought of this years ago. Is He going to make me leave this country and go somewhere that I don't really want to go? Well, you know, I used to think that as a young kid, because being born and raised in New Orleans, it was like, well, we're here. We don't go anywhere when we were born and raised in New Orleans. We stay in New Orleans. We don't go anywhere because that's where we do life. And God said, no, I want you to go one day. I want to prepare you. And wouldn't you know, I watched on TV as a kid, Wild Kingdom, Marlon Perkins' Wild Kingdom, where they had all these animals. And I'm like fascinated with the animals that I'd see on Saturday mornings and Saturday afternoons. And God was saying, you see that country? I'm preparing you to go there one day. And I'm like, wow, okay, I think I can do this. But between then and now, there's been a lot of years. There's been a lot of me being disobedient and doing what Paul said and kicking against the pricks when He's called you to do something. But when you finally surrender, you really begin to see the joy behind why He's calling you to do what He's calling you to do. And He equips you to do it. And you're thinking, I can't. And God's like, yes, you can. But you can. Yes. And so we go with joy. And no, it's not all peaches and cream and a bowl of cherries. As soon as we get on the plane to go, it's restrictions and it's staying up late and a 20-plus hour plane ride, and it's this and it's that. And when you set foot into the country, it's third world, and it's eat food that you don't necessarily know where it came from, but it sustains you, and it's this and it's that. But you know what? It's worth it all because we get to present Christ. We get to say, hey, this is what we do. And we're welcomed like you wouldn't believe we're welcomed. It's like we're like the king and the queen, and we're like, hey, we're no king and queen. We just represent what we do here. But we're welcomed and loved. So it's one of these things where it's like we can't wait to go. Anytime the opportunity opens. And again, thank you. You help us with your prayers, with your support to go. And we just want to always thank you. We're the feet, the arms, and the mouth of the Lord over in Uganda. Thank you. I don't want to take too long today, but I do want you to understand that I really believe God is doing a work with us. We've prayed that the church would wake up. We've been praying it for a while. Was the COVID experience a wake-up call? I can say I believe it is. It was a wake-up. Churches began to, after we got over a certain period of this, begin to meet outside. People would come and drive, some instances that took place. I want to thank Pastor Morris for continuing to have services no matter what. And I know that there was a time when some folks got sick and you had to shut down for just a week or two. But yet you said, we're going to keep driving. And you know, that is really what I pray that most pastors would take on that responsibility and say, you know what? Things have changed, but the Word of God has not changed. And our meeting should not change. There may be some things that we have to do. But we got to know what battles to fight. Don't we? We've got our rights here in America, and it's like, wow. During this COVID thing, I begin to see it's not about our rights as much as it is about our privilege that God's given us. And sometimes we have to do what we have to do, but what's truly amazing is that it is a privilege to serve God. It's a privilege to come to a meeting. It's a privilege to be able to meet, even if it is outside. And by the way, thank God for this young man, and you've probably heard of him on social media, because you're not going to hear about it on TV, Sean Fute, meeting in different cities in America, especially where a lot of the protests are taking place, and having praise and worship sessions right in the middle of some of these cities that are having violence and protest. And then we're hearing about things in California where out on the beach, Huntington Beach, I believe it is, they're having a revival in Huntington Beach where people are coming together and that don't know Christ and are being talked to and told about the gospel and getting baptized right on the beach. We were in Gulf Shores a couple months ago, and a good friend of mine pastors a church in Gulf Shores. And we got to pray for Gulf Shores. It just got smashed by that hurricane, by the way. But before the hurricane came, they had been, wow, we went out to the beach one Sunday afternoon and they baptized, I don't know, 20-something people right in the middle of all this COVID stuff. So what we've been praying for the church to wake up, the church is waking up. The body of Christ is doing what we're supposed to do, and to get out of the four walls and have church right out there where everybody can see what's going on. Hopefully inviting people to come and say, hey, come listen, come hear what the word of the Lord is. Come hear about your destiny and how if you receive Christ and become born again, how your life can change. You know, the scriptures say that, what, John 10:10, I have come. Satan has come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus was speaking, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, that abundant life doesn't necessarily mean material riches. It can, but it meant excitement. Nobody loves a boring life. Nobody, even in Uganda, they want to have fun. They want to get up. They want to dance. They want to experience God. But nobody wants a boring life. That abundant life that Christ was talking about was excitement. Even to the point of having to lose some things in order to have that excitement. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Well, when He takes away, we just got to get over it. We got to get over it and go, okay, you gave this to me. You gave these things to me. You gave me this, you gave me that, but I don't have it anymore. It's not based on what we have. It's based on who we are in Him. And so when we lose things, we still can live that abundant life. Amen? It's not about the riches. It's about the challenge that He's placed in front of us and the excitement that comes in serving the King. Amen? Amen. So with that in mind, we prayed not the pandemic into existence, but we prayed for change. And change came. We should be excited about even what's going on with the pandemic because we asked God to wake us up and He's waking us up. So that means a pandemic can change our life. And you know what? It needs to change our life. It needs to change. But for the purposes of what we were called to do in the destiny that He's called us to do. Amen? Yes. It's going to get darker. The Scriptures prophesy it. The Scriptures prophesy it's going to get darker. And Jesus is saying, I'm coming back. I promised. But I've got to come back for a church that's ready. Not a lazy church. Not a sleeping church. One that's alive. One that's persecuted for my sake. The most exciting churches that I've ever visited or places that I've ever visited is where the church is being persecuted. Are we going to have to visit persecution here? We're already starting to visit with persecution in our churches here in America. Does that mean we shy back and shrink back? No, it means we stand up greater. It means we say we're going to operate under the law that's been given to us. Thank God for the Constitution. But we're going to stand firm in what He's called us to do. Grace and I have been reading a book, and I'm going to get to the Word. Grace and I have been reading a book about America's providential history. It's an amazing book. It's actually a textbook. And we're reading this at night, and what we learned, and many of you know this because your pastor is a historian of American history. But before the American Revolution, the pastors in the 13 colonies were preparing their congregations for change. They were preparing their congregations, and it was the Spirit of God that moved on the pastors to educate the people and say, tyranny is getting ready. We're coming against tyranny. We're getting ready to come against tyranny from the English government over in England. And so the preparation began to come through the pastors. Get ready. We're going to have to fight a revolution. We're getting ready to have to physically do something. So they spiritually prepared first. And they fasted and they prayed all the time. We're reading in the book how they fasted and prayed all the time before they made any moves. Even the Boston Tea Party, they prayed about and fasted before that took place. Before they took the tea and they threw it overboard in the Boston Harbor. But they did resist. I'm not out here to teach rebellion today, okay? That's not my... But I'm saying that we have to be prepared to come against the spirit of the world when it invades the church and say, we are standing up for righteousness. We're standing up for the Scriptures. Peter said, I have to speak what Jesus taught me. I don't do it in any other authority. How can I lay my hands on this one and this one be healed and that one be... That's not me. That came from this man named Jesus. How can I speak in any other authority? We're getting excited. We're getting excited because the best days are yet to come. I'm not trying to be a politician up here. I'm a preacher. The best days are yet to come to the body of Christ. Now to the world it might be a different story. But the best days, the brighter days, are headed our way. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6 just proves it all the more. Ephesians 6, 10 through 19. Paul's writing, and he's finishing up this book that he wrote to the Ephesians, and he says this, finally, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. 11 says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness in the heavenly places. They're even talking about it there, about the darkness. Yes, there's a darkness coming. And we've been experiencing the darkness by rebellion and all forms of disobedience, really, against authority in all realms. Everywhere we're seeing this. And it started in the White House a long time ago. And I'm not saying that to... But we saw what took place in the White House as far as with rebellion years and years ago. And if the president and if those in our past did things rebelliously, it gives the people a license to be rebellious. When the head is messing up, when the man, the main man, is supposed to be doing what he's supposed to do, and he messes up, it just gives license for others to go, oh, well, if he messes up, I guess I can mess up too. But that's not the truth. It's not the truth. We need to stand firm no matter who is in control and do what the Lord's called us to do. In order to do what? Not to mix with the darkness, but to be that light and be that bright light that God's called us to be. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 says this, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, who's the prince of the power of the air? Wow. You know, we're on the air. I'm speaking. Thank God we have control over this. When we get on the air, when we get on radio, when we get on TV, on social media, but sometimes your social media is not controlled by you. Somebody will take it off if they don't like what you're doing or saying. But we do realize that Satan has been given, allowed certain permission by God to do certain things. See, that kind of preaching a lot of people don't want to hear. They don't want to hear the truth that God allows Satan to do things at times, and we go, But how is it? What? It's because God is sovereign and he is not nervous and he is not scared, but he allows Satan certain jurisdictions to do things. And it's to wake us up. It's to wake us up. And we see it all the more when we leave this country and go other places. It's like, wow. You talk about rampant craziness going on over here, but yet there's a light that shines bright and people come to Christ in ways that we are like, wow, all this, excuse my expression, but all this hell going on over here, and in the middle of it, there's bright light going on at the same time. Why? Because the church grows during persecution in ways that man can't wrap his head around. And so when we see it take place, we say, God, how can you allow this kind of craziness? And he's like, I'm working. I'm working. I'm working. Keep your armor on. I'm working. Keep praying. I'm working. Keep doing what I've called you to do. I'm working. Amen? Wow. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having, wow, done everything to stand firm. To stand firm. That which we've been learning all these years, the sermons that we've heard, the times that the Holy Spirit poured himself out on us. And I'm going back to the 70s. I'm going back to the 80s. When I saw things happen that blew my mind in churches. People getting healed. People getting delivered from demons. These things that were happening so in those times and in those period. God's saying, look back at those times and stand firm. The songs that we even sang today in worship. I look at those songs and it's like, yes, I remember that stuff. Yes, I remember those songs in the 70s and the 80s. Power songs that talked about coming out of Egypt. Israelites coming out of bondage.
That's the church of God. We're coming out, and it's time to stand firm and do what he's called us to do. Wow. Standing. 14, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins or your belt with the truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Wow, this armor. We got truth. We've got the truth of what we've all experienced. We got to look back sometimes at the truth. We got to bring it into today. We got to put on that breastplate of righteousness. Wow, we've got a tall order, you know that? He expects us to live by the truth, and he expects us to live righteously. Wow. That means that it's like a military guy. My son-in-law is just made major in the Army, and it's like he can't play. Everything is look good. Your uniform's got to be 100%. You can't be playing video games. You can't be doing this. You've got this many group of guys you got to oversee. And you got to be responsible for them. And if they get in trouble, you might get in trouble too. This, you talk about the straight and narrow. As an officer in the military, but all the more should we be ready, with our armor ready, in righteousness. It's a time to be righteous. It's a time to put aside things that would distract us. It's a time to say, yes, I'm gonna follow hard after God. I'm going to do what it takes, whatever it takes, to stand firm in him. That means if I've got to say, and I've got to X people out of my life. I mean, yeah, this sounds kind of harsh today, but sometimes we have to say, okay, that person or this circumstance or what I used to do in this area, I got to exit out in order to stand firm. It means we got to do certain things that we may have used to do, and we're like, oh, I used to love doing that. And God's saying, well, guess what? It's time to grow up. It's time to put that aside. It's time to do what it takes to remain firm. Because you know what, folks? Up until COVID, the churches were dwindling in numbers. It's kind of sad to go into churches and see people not there anymore. And it's happening everywhere. It's not just our locale. But we're believing that because of persecution and hard times coming, that people are going to come back to their first love. A lot of people have said, I'm not going to church anymore. As if leaving the church is the answer. As if saying, I'm offended, I don't like that preacher, what he said to me, or what they did, is the answer. You're falling right into the trap. We've fallen into the trap when we've said, I'm offended and I'm leaving. And then we wonder why, when we turn around, our kids are running around doing things. Or our family, or our job, or whatever starts disintegrating, and God's saying, listen, I've allowed these things to happen to you in order to wake you up. Don't walk away. Don't walk away from your salvation. Don't walk away. Listen, wow, I've been around a while. Been around a while. I know you have, Pastor Morris. I have seen ministers that I depended on fall. And I'm like, of all the people, I'd have never thought that that person would have walked away, done something immoral, and ended up the way that they are. And God says, and does that mean that you should look to me as your Savior and Lord any less? And the answer to that is, no. I should look to him no matter who falls, no matter what goes on, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, I'm following hard after you. I'm going to put this armor on. I'm going to live by truth. I'm going to live by righteousness no matter who's doing it. No matter who's fallen. No matter who's standing. It's that determined thing. And listen, it's the joy. What is it, Jesus? It was the joy that was set before Jesus that he was able to endure the crushing of the cross. He knew it isn't going to be fun at all. I am going to be broken. But it's that joy that gives me the strength to do this. Knowing that there's going to be an end to this crushing. But I do it for my Father. And we do this for our Father. We do all of this for our Heavenly Father. 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. 16, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish the flaming missiles of the evil one. 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. First, we've got this armor. The first thing is mentioned is truth, our belt of truth. We need truth. The second thing that is mentioned is that we have to have this breastplate of righteousness. You got to be right in order to stay in the truth. Truth is most important. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But in order to stay in truth, we got to do what's right. You start getting flaky when you don't do right. You start doing things that people look at you and go, I know you're of the truth, but what's this about? And it's because there's a crack somewhere in our foundation and we're not living right. So we got to go to the truth. We got to put that righteousness on. We've got to have the gospel of peace coming out of our mouth. These things secure us in the kingdom. We've got to have faith. Oh my, faith is the most important thing of just about in all the armor. Why? It's because without it you can't please God. Oh my. You mean to tell me I can do all these things, but if I don't have faith, if I'm not challenged, see, because putting on faith means I'm meeting the challenge. I'm meeting the challenge. And believe me, life is boring without challenge. Oh my gosh. You want to live that abundant life? I want to live that abundant life. That means challenge is coming and I got to meet the challenge. I don't want to live. I don't want to live some life where you come and it's just you exist. I want to say yes to you, Lord. I want to say yes to your purposes. I want to live an exciting, abundant life that you promised. Truth, righteousness, gospel of peace, our armor, those things that secure us, faith, salvation, the Word of God. Oh, wow. As never before, do we need to pick up that Word and read it, don't we, folks? Oh, man, do we need to even memorize it? The older you get, it's hard to memorize stuff. My mind's like having a hard time with what I did yesterday. But thank God I put some Word in when I was in my 20s. And I remember that. I put some Word in when I was in my teens. I remember that. I put some Word in, I memorized some Word when I was in my like 8 and 9 years old. I still remember that. But I can't remember what I did yesterday. But I remember the Word. Oh, thank God. I've been tempted before. And God will go, remember this Word? Oh, I remember that. I can quote that. It's because I've put the Word in. And we got to keep putting the Word. I got to keep putting the Word in. Amen? And it doesn't return void, folks. The Word, it goes forth to its intended purposes. Amen? The Word of God and prayer. Oh my. Yesterday we experienced some time of repentance for our country. We were able to stand and see what the Lord is doing in our country. We want to see things take place. We want to see, let me just say it this way. We're watching our sports industry crumble. We're watching our materialistic lifestyle in America begin to crumble. We're going to see monies. Thank God. Thank God. We're going to see monies redirected. I truly believe God spoke to me. And sometimes when I get these visions, it's like, oh, thank you, Lord. Can I say it? And he's like, yeah, you can say it. Could I have said that? And he goes, no, you can't say that. But he said I could say this. We need a crumbling of our sports industry in America. We need a crumbling of our idolization of movie stars and movies. We need a crumbling of these things where we spend billions and billions of dollars in order that those funds be directed towards the gospel. And do you know that the crumbling of these idols that we have held so highly in America are coming down? and monies are going to be directed in an end time harvest thrust for the kingdom of God to get out where it needs to go before Christ comes. Because again, folks, I don't want to sugarcoat things. It's going to get dark. It's going to get dark. We want 4 more years in this country of a leader that's going to say yes to righteousness. We do. We want this. We want to see it. We want to see God sustain this country. It is a city on a shining city on a hill. It still is. We want to see this continue as America reaches out. Do you know that even in Uganda, where we go, was it like $16 million that America gave to Uganda just for COVID? 16? I think it was 16 or more. And one, just one payment. Just think of all the rest that America's doing around the world with third world countries trying to help. We are a light. Sometimes all we do is in America is to send money. And you know what? Thank God for that. Because our sending of missionaries is not like what it used to be. It really isn't. But yet, we still have purposes that God has for this country to fulfill. And it's an amazing thing. It's going to get darker. I'm not up here to be a prophet of doom. But I am here to say the words are prophesied in the scriptures that there must come persecution and such in order that we stand up and be who we are, the body of Christ. Exciting times are ahead. We've got the armor of God to equip this. There's not another scripture. There's not another Bible. It's the Bible He's given to us to use, to stand firm on. There's not another spirit other than the Spirit of God where all truth comes from. Yes, there are deceptive spirits, but what we've been taught as never before, it's time to use it. It's time to experience the armor, to apply it to our bodies and say, this is what I'm going to do. Come this, come that, I'm going to stand firm in what He's called me to do. And we can do it. We can do it. We can do this thing. We can do this thing. Remain submissive. All I can say is remain submissive today. Apply the armor and remain submissive. Be sweet. Be sweet to people. Be loving to people. Amen? Even when people are mean and ugly, they might throw something at your car or something. I don't know. Be sweet to people. Realize that it's not flesh and blood. It's these powers and these principalities. We don't want to cut people down. We don't want to get angry at people. Grace sometimes has to calm me down. I get angry. He's like, see how these people are doing? Look at it. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against these principalities that rule. But thank you, Lord, that you've given us power over these principalities, but only through the blood of Jesus Christ can these things occur where we can stand firm. Only through the reading of the Word, the memorization of the Word, the prayers, and the submission. I don't know why I'm harping on this submission thing. Maybe this is why. There are a lot of pastors where churches, where folks are dwindling, and pastors are so gifted that if we go to them with a concern, chances are they're going to have the answer if we'll just submit. If we'll just submit. I've prayed about things and I'm thinking, I got to go see a pastor about this. And I'd go see a pastor and it'd be like, wait, I just asked him one time. It was like he had some kind of connection. Yeah. He had some kind of connection. And it was because of concern for the body of Christ and his antennas being up in the air. It's delightful to submit to spiritual authority. When we go to Uganda, we submit to Pastor Sam's spiritual authority. He's only about 36 years old. And here we are with the age we are, I can't tell you that. But we submit to spiritual, and guess what? We get to do what we get to do. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, today? Let's put on our armor. Let's get used to our armor being on. Let's get used to saying, I'm going to stand firm in the truth. I'm going to put on that righteous lifestyle. I'm going to do what it takes to say yes to the Lord in every area of my life. Because the day is here. The day is here for us to persevere when we see it growing a little darker outside. And that's what I'm here to encourage you about. We're so thankful. We're so thankful. Isn't it wonderful to have a thankful heart? Thank you, saints. You are the saints, by the way. Not that football team. But you are the saints. You're the saints of God. Faithful people. Faithful people that encourage Pastor and his wife. And Grace and I and other leaders. That when we get up and we say thank you for your participation. Thank you for your love, your support. It just keeps us all the more going. Amen. Can I pray a word of love and a word of encouragement as Grace encouraged you today with what we do? Let's pray and bow our heads. Lord, we thank you that these days ahead, we don't look down, we look up. You said that we should look up because it's where our help comes from. We are redeemed by your blood. We're a peculiar people on the earth. We do things in a peculiar way because you called us to be peculiar. And so, Father, as we see that this armor that you've given to us is pliable, it's usable, we pray, dear God, that it'll just fill our bodies. It'll fill our minds, Lord, our spirit, with that which is needed to combat the forces of darkness. Lord, thank you. We thank you, God, for what you've done in the past. We thank you for what you've done, dear God, as of recent. But we're also thanking you for what you're doing in the future here, dear God. Thank you for your body, that we can stand up and say yes to what you command us to do. We stand with an obedient heart today, and we say, Lord, show us where to go. Show us what to do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And before I finish, Lord, I thank you that we are on the air. And if you're out there, and you're listening to these words, and you're wondering who this man is up here talking to you gets this excitement from, he gets it from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a destiny in front of our lives, and we account it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're wondering how you can step into an exciting life, you might think, my life is about over. I've done it all. I might be young or I might be old, but I've done it all, and I'm tired, and I'm worn out. My word to you today is, there's a salvation to experience. There's someone to call on, and his name is Jesus. And for such a time as this, for this time, realize that in your weakness, you call on him, and you say to him, Jesus, come into my heart and change me. Come into my life and change me. I need your spirit. I don't need this world's spirit. I need your spirit. Come into me. I confess that what I've been doing has been destroying my life, and it's been destroying the lives of others. I don't want to be a destroyer anymore. I want to be someone that lives. I want to live life the way it's intended to be. Father, touch those hearts today. Touch those lives today. Those that are desperate, those that are hurting. And I say in Jesus' name, if you receive him as your Savior, your life will begin to turn around. He will take you as a father does gently a child and holds you. Receive that love as you confess to him today your sin, as you confess to him your wrongdoing. when our parents called out to us and said, David, what did you do? You did something wrong. We had to confess it to our parents. We had to say, this is what I did wrong. Sometimes we got disciplined for it. Sometimes it was dropped, what we did wrong. But today, the Lord's saying, take and confess to me your wrongdoing, and I will accept you, and I will love you. Receive Jesus today. Receive Christ into your heart and into your life today. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Pastor Morris.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This one's dead. Hello. No, I won't use that one. No, it's okay. To thank everyone who's for the, those of you in the church, just bear with me for a moment. Those of you who are watching over Facebook, those who are watching over the internet, we thank you for tuning in. I pray you've been blessed by the, there we go, been blessed by this word from these two godly people. And if you're watching the delayed broadcast, I pray that you'll experience God as if you were in this building with us. We thank you. God bless you. Good day. Bye-bye.